So we're talking about what pleases the Lord, you know, and something that that brings delight to Him, you know. And I think about just my daughters when they come to me, and my son-in-laws now, thank goodness, they come to me and they ask me perspective. There's something of joy in that for me, that my daughter is coming and asking perspective, because we all know what teenagers are like, okay, and none of them are teenagers anymore. But teenagers, the majority of teenagers, and all the teenagers are looking at me like, what you gonna say, is that they sometimes think they know more than the adults do. And I'm not going to quantify that. I'm going to just drop it there. but, you know, what delights the Lord is actually when we come to Him and He brings guidance in our lives and we follow that. And that's called obedience, actually. There's a delight in the Lord when we obey Him and when we follow Him. And Proverbs 3, verse 11 to 12 says, and we've got it, okay. It says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." And so the Lord corrects those that love Him. And so actually there's this place where we experience the love of God in that correction. And it's in that discipline, there's this love of God that we're experiencing. And so, you know, I think there's a lot that comes into our minds when we think about the discipline of the Lord. And it's a lot of negative. And I want to take that away, and I want you to see something of the Father's heart for you. That is a Father that wants to lead you into truth and wants to take you on this journey of you becoming more like Him. And He wants to care for you. He wants to delight in your obedience and your just coming to Him and saying, "Lord, lead me, show me, guide me." So we can see disobedience in children. Isn't that so? It's very easy to see disobedience. And, you know, I'm thankful that I've passed the age of young children. But, you know, the Bible says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And in Proverbs 22, verse 15. The NLT says it, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. And so the antidote for foolishness is the Lord, is discipline, actually. And so if we understand that actually there's a discipline that actually keeps us out of folly, keeps us out of foolishness. And isn't that amazing? You think, you know, you don't want to be in that place of being found out to be foolish. And you've got someone that can guide you and lead you. This is an easy question. There's no prize for the winner over here. But what is the most spoken word the majority of children between the ages of, say, 18 and 24 months are? There we are. No. I want it my way. I want it the way that I prefer. And so that comes very naturally in children, because actually folly is bound up, the word says, in the heart of a child. And, you know, actually that's bound up in each one of us. You know, and we're on this journey of becoming more Christ-like and learning to actually say yes to Jesus and not no. You know, Matthew 21, it talks about the parable of two sons. And it talks about them going into the field, and the father asks, the older boy, he says, "Go out and work in the vineyard today." And the son said, "No, I won't go." But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. And then the father told the other son, "You go," the second son, "you go." And he said, "Sir, I will," but he didn't go. And then Jesus says to the Pharisees and those around. So who of the two obeyed his father? And they said the first. In other words, the first one that said originally no, but then eventually went and did it. It's disobedience is obvious in children, eh? I mean, we can see it plainly as parents, and even those that haven't got children, you can see it quite plainly, disobedience. But isn't it so difficult for us as adults to acknowledge our disobedience? Huh? Isn't it something that we, and disobedience to the Lord, we quickly justify our position. We quickly are able to say, well, you know, it's because of this and this and this. And so we're quick to do this. What did Jesus say? He said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And that's if you love me. So in other words, if we profess our love for Jesus, if we're standing up here and worshiping him, and we're saying, you are worthy, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we did that actually now. But we don't obey what he commands. We're actually not loving the Lord. And we're being false. And so there's a great example of in Saul's life. And I wanted to just go there. The disobedience of Saul actually cost him his kingship. Because he disobeyed what God said. And it wasn't so bad. I mean, when I look at it, it doesn't look too bad. You know, he did the majority of what God said. And sometimes we as adults can do that. We can do the majority, but there's a little thread that we don't do because it's inconvenient or it doesn't suit us or it's not really what I want. And 1 Samuel... I want to just go through, just give you a brief, a quick just history of it. So the prophet came to Saul and he said to him, you must kill, annihilate, totally destroy all the Amalekites. That means every single person from adult to baby through to cattle, through to everything that they had was to be destroyed. Because of their disobedience, because of they opposed the Lord. And so that was the task that God had given Saul. And Saul, in verse 7, it says, Saul slaughtered the Amalekites all the way from one area through to the next. And but, it said, he spared Agag's life, who was the king. And kept the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle and the fat calves and the lambs and everything, in fact, that appealed to them. Everything that appealed to them. I don't know about you. I feel like I want to keep what appeals to me. Isn't that bound up into my heart, into each one of our hearts? There's this feeling, I want to keep that. And then God actually said in verse 11 that he's sorry he ever made Saul king. And that he was going to, and he said that he had not been loyal to me and had refused to obey my command. And Saul, in retaliation to Samuel's bringing that word and said, you've disobeyed, he said this, but I did obey the Lord. Paul insisted, I carried out the mission you gave me, I brought back the king Agaga, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and the plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And so there was this like, even that, there's this like, He's done this thing, but he's cloaked it in. We want to sacrifice all of that to the Lord. And Samuel replies, and he says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice. Or his obedience to his voice. The Lord's speaking to each one of us individually, and there's stuff like Ivia mentioned, you know, but are we obedient to his voice? Because he's spoken something about to each one of us. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission better than offering the fat of lambs. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And so from that point on, God had already looked towards David and wanted to anoint David as king. So the kingship was taken from him and from his sons. Not only him, but his lineage going down was taken away from being king for that one thing. You know, I remember Kegwin and myself, we've been married 31 years and love each other, but we've had some real humdingers in our relationship, and you know, we've had some times where we have not sorted it out. We've been in an argument, you know, and I think I'm right and Kegwin's thinks she's right, and we're both waiting for the person that's in the wrong to apologize. And we just let it go on for another 10 minutes, another hour, another 2 hours, you know, into the next day. And we don't sort it out with each other, but we hold that and that thing against one another. And you know, we're angry with each other. I mean, there's no one that can make me as angry as Kegwin can. And she's told me the same. But we were not finding each other. And the Lord was gracious. The Lord was so gracious. He came and he brought the scripture to mind. And that scripture was Ephesians 4. Verse 26, and it said, and don't, have you got it there? Okay, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. And so we sat and we said sorry to each other and we said, okay, from now on, you know, we're not going to, because this is the word of the Lord to us, that we're not going to allow this our arguments to go over to the next day. We're not going to let the sun set on our anger towards each other. We're going to sort it out. But you know what happened? Like, not too long after that, we were tested. Kegwin made me really angry, and she said I made her angry, and we didn't find each other. And you know what? I lay in that bed stiff, like not touching her side, and she didn't touch me. And we spent the whole night like that. And the next morning, I got up early, so we didn't have to chat, but the Lord had spoken to us. And I got on my, and those days I was doing a bit of cycling, so I was on my road bike, got out 5 o'clock in the morning, got out doing like a 30K or whatever, and going along, and as I'm riding, you know, just fuming, processing what happened the night before, we haven't sorted it out, you know, we've said that we're not going to, you know, let the sun set on our anger, and, you know, processing this stuff. And then as I'm going down Main Road Warmer, a car comes past me, and it comes past me so close that it hits my elbow and takes off its side mirror. And the side mirror is lying there, and I'm like off into the side of the road, or on the side, on the grass over there. And I'm realizing there's a dawning on me that the Lord has spoken. And what happens? And the guy didn't even stop. He just carried on. He must have been high on something. And he just carried on. And I was just sitting there. And I was just, for me, there was like this, Lord, you've spoken to me. You warned me. You said that actually, you know, that I'm not to allow this anger to go on to the next day, that and the sun set on my anger. And immediately for me, there was this like, Lord, I need to repent before Kevin, you know, that I carried this thing and I wasn't willing to deal with it. And, you know, sometimes we as adults, we can justify. We can justify ourselves and before the Lord, and actually, you know, it's fine to be that angry because, I mean, she really made me angry. But when the Lord speaks, what happens if I had not? If I'd been taken out, I wouldn't have been able to sort out an issue. There'd be unforgiveness in my heart towards my wife. And so it was a sobering moment for me as I realized that it's actually the Lord's discipline of me. Not that I think he protected me, and he allowed that, but there was, he was determined to actually bring me to a place of repentance. And thank goodness. And I think, you know, it's almost like there's a appropriate discipline or appropriate, age-appropriate discipline in our lives. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord and there's things that the Lord highlights to us, you know, and there's grace. You know, because maybe it's drugs. You you fall back into that, and then you repent and you turn to the Lord again, and then a little while later you fall back into that. But then the Lord's grace almost holds you to account, because now you've actually got to come before the Lord and allow Him to sort that area out. You know, and so for some. We cannot, for Kegs and myself, we cannot let the sun set on our anger, because this is what the Lord has spoken to us about. You know, there's having to deal with confrontation and deal with it quickly before the Lord, so that we find each other quickly, not allowing the stuff to go on for days. And the Lord reminded me in that time of that scripture, which is further on after that, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And it says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and I'd said a lot, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I'd realized that I'd brought sorrow on the Holy Spirit because of the way that I'd lived, because I'd just taken this as just, this is how I live. I justified, in my adult mind, my disobedience to the Lord. But you know, the Father's heart towards us, and we see it, I want us to read this scripture in Proverbs 3 verse 1, because I want you to pick up the Father's heart towards us. You know, He's not the Father that's got this big stick that wants to discipline us. He's actually wanting to bring us to a place of actually understanding His love and hearing Him. So, my child, Never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty or kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is where we need to take this, the word of the Lord. This, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. But sometimes we can do that. We can depend on our own understanding of, I've been wronged over, yes. I'm justified in my responses. But not to depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength in your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Then he goes, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And this is a picture of a father that loves us, a picture of a father that wants to guide us, wants to lead us into what he has for us. And so there's this trusting of the Lord that we've got to, in this place of obedience, where we got to trust, not lean on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. You know, this obedience is a obedience pleases God, and it's actually a response towards him guiding us. It's not just saying, I love you, God, but it's putting our love into action. Like Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And so it's not just saying, Jesus, I love you, but we're saying that in that, Lord, I will truly trust you in this area. And that's faith. There's this true trust in me. I will trust you above all. Above all, there's an affection to the Lord in that. And it says, I want your presence more than sin. There's a desire. This is the love for being obedient to Jesus. There's a desire for what pleases him more than what pleases us. And so the Lord delights, actually, in giving us counsel. He delights in leading us into truth. And so even this evening, you know, maybe the Lord has highlighted for you something where he's spoken to you. He's brought truth to you. He's spoken it out, but you've maybe just ignored it. Just like, okay, let me, you know, think it out. Just justify my way. And I've ignored the Lord. Or maybe you haven't heard the Lord for a long time. And you feel like he's faint and distant. And maybe you need to go back to the last thing that he said to you. Because that's what he does. He just keeps quiet. Because he said something. But then you actually have to hear him and respond. And so maybe we can just close our eyes. I feel like the Lord wants to counsel us in our life. And I think even, you know, as Evie brought that word about just in his own life, the Lord has highlighted areas that were actually not in line with what the Lord had for him. And as he surrendered to the Lord guided him. The Lord's mercy was upon him actually to change him. As we've got the privilege of coming to a Father that loves us and wants to lead us and counsel us in the right way to go. Don't you want to know what the Father wants? Don't you want to know what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your life. And, you know, maybe I'd like us to just, you know, I think for each one it's different. And maybe I can provoke your thinking to think about actually when last did the Lord speak to you? When last did the Lord guide you? You know, like the time for me just recognizing he'd spoken, but me just carrying on and not adhering and listening to and following his guidance, that was actually healthy for me and healthy for our relationship. I feel like the Lord is actually reaching out to each and every single one over here. And there's different things. And maybe there's something that for you, you recognize the Lord has spoken to you. The Lord has stirred your heart and he's counseled you actually. He said, go this way, my son, my daughter, go this way. But you've decided, actually, you know, it's better to do it that way. I feel like the Lord wants to re-grasp your heart tonight. And actually, as a father, come next to you and say, this is the way. And maybe just as you are in that place, that you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to repent before you. I want to hear you. I want to follow your counsel. Because I know it's life. The Bible says it's life to our bones. So maybe just even, I don't know, even in this, the uncomfortableness of silence, that we come before the Lord, that you actually in this moment, that take that moment before the Lord and say, Lord, I come to you. Lord, I repent of hearing you but not doing, saying yes, but then not doing it, Lord. I want to be those, even though I say no, I want to be those that do it, what you want. I want to be those that don't just say it, but live it. And so, Lord, I repent to you this evening. And I ask you to come and lead me as you so clearly put in Proverbs 3, as this, the Father that just brings us counsel and lovingly delights in us hearing and following him. We want to be those people that please you, Lord Jesus.